I invite you to turn your Bibles, if you would please, to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John in chapter number 11. I was kind of blown away when he asked me to preach tonight. I didn't expect to, just allowing us to come in to sing. But thank you for the privilege, Pastor. I do count it a great honor. I do want to make one clarification. Earlier, it was announced that all of us are single. I am taken. Praise the Lord. There's a young lady in Oklahoma that I get to see this coming Saturday, and I'm really excited about that. Her name is Amy. But anyway, as for the rest of these guys, I'm telling you what. Anyway, today is Josiah's birthday. Can we sing for him real quick? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Josiah. Happy birthday to you. All right. At this morning, we were at Carson Memorial. He was playing the piano, and then he played Happy Birthday for himself. How conceited is that? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, no, when I was a kid one time, we had youth day at the pastor's house, and I brought my own birthday cake to it. We were like, why'd you bring your own birthday cake? Well, I just want to make sure someone did. Anyway, John chapter 11 is where we'll start tonight. There is a character in the Bible that is one of my favorites. When you talk about favorite Bible characters, of course, the Lord Jesus takes first place, far above all. But, you know, other than that, you know, who are your favorite Bible characters? I think these guys, their new favorite is David. But anyway, in the Old Testament, I'd probably say Joseph is one of my favorites. I mean, he stood for the Lord. He had a great testimony. I appreciate the story of Joseph and just standing for what's right. But when it comes to the New Testament, I kind of have to choose this guy, right? When I was younger, my siblings would sing a song every single week. They'd sing, "Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your say. Don't be a doubting Thomas." I get it, okay? All right, he has some faults, okay? He came out better in the end, though. Anyway, you can't really say his name without the moniker attached to it. Doubting Thomas. So you know what? A while ago, I said, you know what? Someone needs to take the case for Doubting Thomas and find out what did Doubting Thomas actually believe. So we're going to look at that tonight. Let me say it this way. He's mentioned, you know, in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they only mention him by name in the list of disciples. You know, I find that kind of interesting. My brother's name is John, and the Gospel according to John mentions him more than that. I'm thankful for John's. Amen. Anyway, but as we look at Scripture, he's mentioned in, he actually opens his mouth in four different verses in three different passages. And we're going to look at that tonight. What did Doubting Thomas do? Well, he was called to the Lord. He followed Jesus for 3 years. He, like many of the other disciples, left everything that he knew before. You know, I don't know exactly what kind of job it was that he left, but he left all that he knew, and he started following the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there when Jesus stilled the waters on the Sea of Galilee. We got to see that this past summer, and man, that'll change your life. He was there when they fed the 5,000, and, you know, just fish and bread kept coming out of nowhere. He saw that miracle. He was with our Christ. We're going to look at every single time that he actually opened his mouth. What did Doubting Thomas actually believe? John chapter 11, verse number 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Lazarus. "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Lazarus was a close friend, of course, of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might think, oh, but he's God. You know, he loves everyone. Yes, he does. And, you know, he died on the cross for everyone. But, you know, when he was on this earth, he had people that were closer to him. Peter, James, and John were considered, you know, that close-knit group of friends. You know, this summer, I've kind of had my close-knit group of friends chosen for me. And then, you know, talk about maturing and whatever. Anyway, you know, I don't know what else to say, but I appreciate these guys. They've been a huge blessing. And, you know, Lazarus was one of those people that Jesus was close to. And when the news came, of course, you know, that he was sick, nigh unto death, you know, they assume, okay, he's gonna pack his bags and leave immediately. But no, okay, you know the account. He waits. They say, why are you waiting? But he does, and he says, you know, this is for the glory of God. Eventually, it would come out in verse number 14. Actually, okay, so he says, now it's time to go. It's been a few days. Now it's time to go see Lazarus. And they say, but Lord, you know, we're going into Judea. They're going to kill you. And then in verse number 14, he says, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then verse number 16, then said Thomas. Okay, doubting Thomas, he opens his mouth for the first time in Scripture, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Really encouraging guy. You know, hey, let's go. Today is a good day to die, you know, some people might say. But he says, you know, let's just go. Well, you know, as we look at this account, of course, we know the end of the story, right? You know, Lazarus had died, but then Jesus was there and he raises him from the dead. And what a miracle that was. Just for that to be seen and for him to raise someone from the dead. But as we look at this verse, we see Thomas, he opens his mouth, says, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus. Both those words mean the same thing. They mean twin. There's various ideas put out why he would have been named twin. Perhaps he had one. It's just not known in Scripture. Unto his fellow disciples, he said this, let us also go that we may die with him. At this point, Thomas is looking forward to the cross. You know, Jesus had been telling his disciples, it's in multiple passages, how that, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life. And that was something that he was involved in telling his disciples. Thomas is looking forward to the cross. He doesn't know all the details yet, but he says, you know what? If Jesus is going to die, let's go so we can die with him. From this passage, you know, we look now in hindsight. We see that Jesus has died on the cross for our sin. So I'd like to take up the point. Number one, doubting Thomas. What did he believe? He believed that Jesus would die. He believed that Jesus would die. Of course, in hindsight now, we see that he did die. Just a few minutes ago, I was thinking about you know, this passage and thinking about the fact of Christ's death. And of course, we remember that every time we take communion, we take the Lord's Supper. I'm reminded in conversation one time, it was August, I think, this past year, and I went over to Charlotte. I was trying to sell my Honda Civic. Anyway, so many details. But I walk up to this guy, and, you know, he's a Muslim man. And I start talking with him, and then, you know, the gospel comes up, and we just start talking, and he says, oh, I believe in Jesus, too. Okay, well, warning. What do you mean by you believe in Jesus, too? Okay, well, Muslims traditionally would, I suppose, believe that Jesus was a prophet, was a good man, and they would believe that he died and went to heaven. They believe the same thing here, you know, at this point. Oh, Jesus is going to die? Okay, well, Muslims believe that too. But it's not good enough just to believe that Jesus died. Look, if you would, at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we must keep going. I love John chapter 14. Jesus is answering Peter in verse number 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Again, believe. It keeps coming up. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go. Where's he going? He's going to the cross to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then doubting Thomas opens his mouth once again, and he asks a great question. He says this. He says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, who better to ask the question to than the Savior, than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He looks at the person who is the way, and he asks him, how can we know the way? Well, you're asking the right person. You know, it reminds me of being in Georgia, and there was a pastor there who started talking to me about one of the teens. We were there for Nehru Bible time, I think, and he started opening up about one of the teens who was there, and they were asking questions about creation, evolution, about life, about even gender issues, and all these sorts of things. And he said to me, you know, it's good for someone to to ask those questions, to struggle through those issues. Well, we must go to the right source. We must go to the right person to ask those questions to. And Jesus is asked here, how can we know the way by doubting Thomas? And he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. I love that song we sing, you know, Jesus is the way to my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. He is the way. He's the only way. That's the truth that we must share. Look, if you would, at John chapter 20. We're continuing. What did doubting Thomas believe? John chapter 20, we're hastening along. We've seen, okay, he's been following Christ. He's there when Lazarus, you know, is dead and raised from the dead. And then, you know, he asks that question, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way. And then in John chapter 20, we have the only other chapter in which doubting Thomas opens his mouth. John chapter 20, of course, is the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of our Savior, of our Lord, is in this chapter. And in verse number 24, we enter into the scene in which Christ has shown himself to a few people. He's shown himself to Mary. He's shown himself to the people on the road to Emmaus. He's shown himself to the 10 disciples, excluding Judas Iscariot and excluding Thomas. He wasn't there with them. Verse number 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said, therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, okay, the third time he opens his mouth, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. At this point, doubting Thomas believed that Jesus died and he believed that he was buried. You know, it's interesting. Earlier this summer, we were in Virginia. We were in Colonial Heights, Calvary Baptist Church, and we went out on a Tuesday night for their blitzing. They were getting ready for Bible time, and we were around the neighborhood, and some of the gentlemen passed off a tract to someone at a trailer and, you know, kept moving to the next house and whatever. That man took the track. It doesn't even have the, you know, the Romans wrote on it. It was just a, hey, this is neighborhood Bible time. He didn't have any kids. He didn't have any teens, you know, but they gave him one of those flyers. That was the only thing they had. And they said, hey, you know, here you go. If you find a place to go to church, or here's a place to go to church, you know. And he calls the church up. The youth pastor was out with the group, but the senior pastor was there, Brother Ray Haskett. And he gets the call. And for 20 minutes he's on the phone with this guy. His name is Michael. And, you know, Michael says many things. He says, you know, oh, you know, I've been to church before, but, you know, God doesn't love me. God hates me. God wants me to go to hell. He just starts pouring out and is, well, what's going on and so forth. So Brother Haskett says, hey, will you let me come over and see you? So the man said, sure, come on, you know, if you want to. I don't think anyone really cares about me. Just had that, you know, that mindset, that perspective. People need to know that we care. So we get back and Brother Haskett, he comes down from the office and he says, all right, let's go. You know, so I get in the car with Brother Haskett and we go over and we see this man, Mr. Michael. He was probably in his 60s or so. Pastor Haskett just started, you know, opening up to him and started talking a conversation, sharing the gospel and sharing even our testimonies and so forth. And one of the things that Michael kept saying again and again was, well, if I go to church, will you let me come in? And Brother Haskett said, we would love for you to come. You would be my honored guest. You know, he even said, he kept talking about the American flag. He said, if I bring the American flag, would you let me come in? Of course we'd come let you come in, you know? It's just that was his mindset. As in the course of the conversation, he just said, I've done all these wrong things. I've drunk. And he was an alcoholic, and he'd been abusing drugs and so forth, so you could tell that just things were mixed up. One of the questions he kept asking Brother Haskett was, well, if I go to church, will you baptize me? Will you baptize me? Brother Haskett's like, well, you come on and let's talk about that, let's talk about that, whatever. He kept asking him again and again, hey, will you baptize me? Will you baptize me? We know that baptism, of course, does not save you. It's only by grace through faith. Right. Baptism, though, is a picture, you know, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of new life, or raised to new life. It's not enough to believe that Jesus died and that he was buried. That just makes him like any other man. Let's continue the passage, though. Verse number 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "I can't believe you, dirty rascal, doubted me." No, that's not what he says. He says, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless." Don't be a doubting Thomas, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, the last time Thomas is recorded in Scripture to open his mouth, he gives a great declaration of the deity of Christ, which Jesus received. He said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." At this point, doubting Thomas goes to believing. He believes that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. What is that? That's the gospel. Doubting Thomas, doubting though he was, he believed the gospel. And the next part that I'd like to share with you is not in Scripture, so I can't say, "Thus saith the Lord," but according to tradition and history, what happened to Thomas? People write that he became a missionary of sorts. You know, he traveled from Israel. There are accounts that he went into Iran, and going through Iran, he passed through the nation of India, is what most people know him for. I've met some first-generation, second-generation immigrants from India, and they've told, when they found out my name, they said, "Oh, Thomas! Oh, we love Thomas!" And they, you know, there are churches in India that still say, "We were started," or "We were, you know, this church was brought about because of the influence of the Apostle Thomas." Doubting Thomas gave his life for the gospel. He gave his life to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Yesterday was our last kind of travel day, if you would. We're coming back here to hometown, home territory, and we're glad to be with you tonight. Yesterday we were in North Carolina. I'm trying to think. Where were we, guys? South Carolina. Well, we drove through North Carolina. Anyway, we were in South Carolina, and I remember we were Eastside Baptist Church, Greenwood, South Carolina. Sometimes it takes me a second. Anyway, we did some different things, but one thing, right after lunch, there was a Greenwood Mall there, and we went out and just passed some tracks to some different people, and there was one fella at a GNC, one of those protein places. You know, his name was John, and John keeps coming up again, but I passed off a track to him, and I said, "Hey, have you ever seen something like this?" And he said, "Well, no, not exactly like this," you know. So just had a, you know, light conversation with him, and left him with that, and just pray that, you know, he would read it, and, you know, be just, you know, start heading that direction towards the gospel, and that would be an open door for the next person to witness to him as well. But, you know, as we think about sharing the gospel, yesterday, of course, did y'all do anything yesterday? Yeah. And actually, it was a really busy day, right? You know, I mean, tons of kids, tons of food, tons of games. I was talking to Seth, and Seth was like, "You know, we were out there, you know, just giving 100%, but we came down 4-3. And I was like, "You know what? I've been there, buddy. I've been there, you know. Camp Barnabas, actually, you know, I've been there." But, you know, yesterday was a great day. Many kids heard the gospel. You know, people even in South Carolina were given the gospel in tract form, and these guys were sharing it as well. Why am I telling you this? It's easy for me to think, well, if I give all my efforts toward this one thing, you know, then I can check that box and, okay, I don't need to witness to anyone for the rest of the year. I did my duty. No, gospel's not about that. It's not about, okay, one day out of a year. Yes, have that emphasis. It's good. You know, and sometimes it's just one of those things, you know, why do we have revival services? So we only have revival 1 week a year? No. Hopefully, you know, that can spark revival, and you know, hopefully that would just, you know, invigorate your life as you go into the next week and the next month and the next few months, and that God would just use that to drive you closer to the Word of God. Why do we have emphases on sharing the gospel? Well, it's good just to, you know, have something to invite people to and to have that emphasis. Hey, come for the games, come for the food, and get the gospel. But what I must remember, what we must remember, is that giving the gospel, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a, okay, I'll do it when I have to fill out a CSR. But the gospel ought to be my life. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And as I wrap up, the Ingalls, the new Ingalls, actually, that's over here. It was a couple months ago. I've shared this testimony, an ambassador. But I was over there to get some things. And as I was coming back to my car, next to my car, there was a man sitting down in the driver's seat, window rolled down. And a thought came to me, you share the gospel with him. And I'd like to say that I just ran towards him, but I didn't. The next thought I had was, I don't want to share the gospel with him. He doesn't look like he would want it. I'd probably be rejected. You say, you thought that? Yeah, I did. I made a flesh. The Bible says in Proverbs that the fear of man is a snare. And it's something that God is continuing to give me grace in to gain victory in that area. But the Lord convicted me, and you know, I had this thought, you know, how many times have you prayed for opportunity and for boldness to witness, and you're just going to let this perfect opportunity go by? So I grabbed a tract, I prayed a Nehemiah prayer, and I went over to the door, and I ended up talking with that fella and his friend for an hour and a half. You never know what's going to happen in a parking lot. In the course of the events, I share the gospel with him. I share my testimony with him. These two people, they both claim to be transgender women. Of course, we only, you know, God created a male and female. I think that's pretty established here. But I shared the gospel with them. The one identified as Jackie, and I was, you know, opening up to him. And long story short, he asked me this question. He looks at me and he says, I don't mean any disrespect, but why are you doing this? Why are you at my door? And the answer that God gave to me at that moment was, because you have a soul. Because that soul is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And I want to make the difference. Because Jesus died for you. We need to go out there to reach people like Jackie. To reach people like Michael. To reach people like Louisa and others are coming to my mind. Who are the family members in your life that need to share that you need to share the gospel with them? Who are the people that you work with, or that you see on a day-to-day basis, or that you are neighbors with that need to hear the gospel? You're right there, and you can share it with them. My encouragement to you, my challenge to you tonight, is that, you know, would we be like the Apostle Thomas? Would we take the example in Scripture? Would we take the gospel and not just give it on a one day? I have great respect for you, given of your effort, given of your time to do that. Would you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that we would make our life about giving the gospel? I'm so thankful that someone gave it to me.